Is it gossip? No, he doesn't talk trash. Did you say this was a daily podcast? Podcast, podcast, podcast with Lance Bass.
Hello, my little peanuts. It's me, your host. It's Lance Bass, the daily podcast. I hope everyone had a great NSYNC week.
I'm still recovering.
By the way, it's Monday, March 23rd.
Yes,
2020.
Good job. Yeah.
I know, right? I'm surprised I even have dates in my head at this point.
I don't think there are any.
Because I feel like every day is basically Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Or every day is Saturday. We're gonna go with that.
I think Saturday is better. Monday makes me have anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. So it's every day is a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Woo, we should celebrate. But not too much. Okay, so NSYNC Week, I would think, was a success.
Amazing.
It was so much fun to hear the guys, you know, reminisce. And it was so great to see all you fans out there sharing your experiences, your pictures from 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, y'all are all such kids.
They're amazing.
Babies.
And those pictures that Carrie had,
Yeah.
I have some treasures that haven't been released yet.
Yeah. So. Well, to let us come down from it easily.
Mm-hmm.
I figured there was a lot of things that I wanted to talk about last week, but since I just had the guys, I had to keep it very, just to the guys. But there were so many people behind the scenes that it is the reason that we were successful.
Totally.
I mean, it's all about your team. And our team was incredible. And I wanted to interview a few of our team members because, I just want to hear their perspective, especially, look, we're going to go with Carrie Sellard. She was there from day one in 1995. Melinda Bell, who came, who joined us around, after we got back from Germany. We're going to have Johnny Wright, and we're going to have Kevin Antunes, who also was our music director and band leader and keyboardist, and also wrote songs with Justin on No Strings Attached.
And we have Tim, right?
And we have Tim Miller, the ultimate road dog and our production manager.
Road dog. That's
road
a
dog.
Great name.
So, yeah, so we got a bunch of our peeps going to come on the show and kind of show you what was going down during, from their experience.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be very interesting. So today we're going to start with our man, Kevin Antunes, who was our band leader with us for so many years. Kevin, how's it going, my man?
Oh, it's going great.
Woohoo.
I'm just locked in place here in my house in Orlando.
Yes, we are. You were just telling me before we started this, you've been on tour. You're Madonna's band leader at the moment, right?
Correct.
And
correct.
You've been with her for a good bit now, right?
Yeah, I started adding it up the other day, and I think it's 12 years now.
Oh my gosh, you've been over 12 years?
Yep, I've got the gray hair to prove it.
That's great. And I know y'all had to cancel the last couple of dates on tour. How is that going down?
Yeah, it was a challenge because towards the end of this tour, she had a hip and knee injury. So she was already forcing herself to make her way through the end of the tour. And she's a trooper, man. It took the coronavirus and the French government actually shutting down the venues to make us stop. So luckily for us, we only missed the last two concerts.
Yeah. And I'm sure those are just postponed. Those will happen at some point. And we all get out of this. I don't know. You also mounted the Michael Jackson show in Las Vegas. Tell me about that experience, because that was one show I did not get to go to.
Well, just let me know whenever you want to go, when
you
it's
got,
back
you got
up
some
again. Yeah, there's a couple of people that keep calling me, always wanting to go, and it's an amazing, amazing show. I got the call from Jamie King, choreographer, artistic director, and former dancer with Michael. Mm-hmm. He was working with the estate of Michael Jackson and told them about me. So I got to work with Cirque du Soleil, and we did the first one in 2011, which was Michael Jackson Immortal, and then we did the second one, which opened in 2013 at Mandalay Bay, and that's called Michael Jackson One.
Mm-hmm. Everyone says it's so incredible. How did you get started in the business? What was your first gig?
Well, I'm the fifth generation of musician in my family.
Oh, yeah?
My father, a lot of people didn't know this, but he's in the band still to this day, John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
Oh.
So they're a rock and roll band, and they did the soundtrack to the movie Eddie and the Cruisers back in the mid-80s.
Sweet.
So when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, my uncle had a sound company, so we would help set up sound systems. And then when we had a chance, we'd go in the studio with my father and see how they actually make records and then do concerts live. So from there, I grew up wanting to just be that guy. I want to be in a band. I want to be on stage. And all these rock bands that are kind of famous now, some of them used to do shows with my father's band. One of them I met when I was with Madonna. I ran into the guy over at Dantana's in Hollywood, and it's John Bon Jovi. Yeah. Bon Jovi used to open up for my father's band, and concert, that was the first arena show that I'd ever seen. Wow. And that made me want to do arenas. So when I was, I don't know, like 18 and a half or something, I got the gig with the New Kids on the Block.
Oh my gosh. So that's how you were introduced to this whole world, the Johnny Wright world, was New Kids on the Block. What year was that?
Oh, I met them in 88, but I went on the road with them in 89.
So I saw you on tour. I think it was probably when y'all went through Jackson, Mississippi at the stadium. Do you remember which tour that was when y'all would do the stadium?
Yeah, because it was the same time that Justin said the exact same thing. He said he went to in Memphis at the Pyramid, the venue. Right. And he said he remembers him and Trace. They were running after a limousine because they thought it was Donnie, but it was just a limousine.
I've never heard that story. That is hilarious. Because
pretty funny.
I remember, you know, what was that, 92 maybe, somewhere around there. My sister and I, we camped out for tickets, and it didn't really work because we still got the nosebleed, like top of the stadium seats. I had to have binoculars. But I was talking to, I think it may have been Tim Miller, where I thought it was just so weird that everyone that was working on the New Kids, you know, from you and Johnny and Tim and everyone, and I think even Ibrahim Duarte was there with an opening act, not knowing.
And Bongo the Tech.
All yep. these people. And who knew, you know, just a few years later that we would all be working together, that little kid in the back of that stadium would be working with those people. It's just
crazy. It's amazing. Yeah. And the New Kids are great guys. I'm still really, really close with all of them.
Yeah, they're great. Actually, Donnie is coming on the show today. Actually, well, for tomorrow. We're recording it today.
Yeah. Well, when you talk to him, tell him I said what's up. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
I love that. Yes, they're very bored right now. We've been FaceTiming with him and Jenny because she's now she's working on a lot of arts and craft projects right now in the garage. So we get updated with FaceTimes, watching her build shit. Yeah,
I love those two. Their Instagram game is top. Yeah.
Oh, they're great. What exactly is the role of a music director for people that don't know this?
Well, as a musical director for pretty much all of the artists that I've worked for, my job is to work directly with the artists and help maintain the original creative intent. So whether that's taking these songs and performance elements and putting them on television or putting them on in an arena or a stadium, I want to make sure that it stays true to the music and it highlights all of the artist's strengths.
Right.
So I'm also a keyboardist. So some shows I end up on stage playing, some shows I can direct from the floor, and it gives me a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. What do you prefer? Do you like directing, or do you like to get on those keys and play?
I'm old school. I like to be on stage. Yeah. I just can't stop myself.
Yeah. Now, do you come up with the concepts and pitch them to groups and artists, or do they have an idea and bring it to you to bring to life mainly?
Usually happens both ways. And sometimes the creative directors that help with the visuals and the choreography lend their input, and that could lead to, you know, a design of a set list or a feel. Yeah. You know, I recently, separate from Madonna, I just helped Shakira put her last tour together, which was on, I think it was HBO or Showtime. And that whole experience was different because I wasn't in the band and she's really hands-on. So it was a huge collaborative through her longtime band, myself, her artistic director, and some of her producers in the studio.
Yeah. What was it like to collaborate with, you know, our people, you know, with us, our choreographers? Was there a certain choreographer that you love to work with?
Oh, man, Darren Henson. Come on.
Oh, yes. He was so great.
Because I knew Darren from before you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, when he came aboard, I was like, oh, man, look at this. We get to do this with this group. That's amazing.
I love
what
that.
What you really should ask me is about the time that I first met you guys. Okay. That's what you should ask.
Oh, that was coming up.
I don't think you guys remember that.
I don't. That's why I had this up next. So how did you first know about us? I'm sure that was through Johnny Wright. And then what was that first meeting like?
Well, what happened was I had, after New Kids tours, I went back to Northeastern University in Boston, finished my degree, And then I moved to New York and I started working for Atlantic Records in the royalty department. And while I was there with the telephone, you could make international calls for free. So Johnny was working with Backstreet and I would just call him all the time just because we were still friends. And he would vent to me about what was going on at the gig because I wasn't on it. So I'm a safe person to talk to.
Right.
So all that time went by. And then he's like, hey, look, you know, there's stuff going on with that group. And I'm going to be working with this new group. And they're called NSYNC. And they're great. We did this stuff in Europe and Germany. So we kept talking about you guys. Then finally, one day, he said, hey, Kevin, guess what? NSYNC's going to be at MTV. And Randy Security, who also worked for New Kids on the Block, he said, Randy's going to be there, big dog. So you should go down. You should go meet this group. Because I'm telling you, if you meet them, you know, you'll probably really like them. And I could tell Johnny was overselling me. He wanted me to be involved, right? Yeah. I was like, all right, so look, I'll go down there. So on my lunch break, I walk down to MTV Studios. I see Randy, and I come into this room with all five of you sitting in the room, right? So I was like, all right, so this is the new group, all right? Mm. So I walk, and you guys are getting ready to perform. I think you were doing I Want You Back, and it might have been Carson Daly. Yeah. I think it was TRL. So I walk up, and I said, hey, I'm Kevin. Nice to meet you. And this kid was sitting in the corner biting his fingernails. It was JC. I was like, hey, what's up, man? He was like super nervous. And Joey was just Joey. Joey hasn't changed. You guys were you were hilarious. Chris was like, he was a bit nervous, yeah. You know, because he's getting ready to do a TV show. Mm-hmm. And you were like, hey, nice to meet you, Lance. Almost like you want to say, you know, I'm from Jackson, Mississippi. But Justin walked up to me and it was like, I mean, maybe he was 15 and a half, 16 or something,
yeah.
Real skinny at the time. And he just walked up and he put his hand. I said, I'm Justin Timberlake. Nice to meet you. Like straight up Disney. Oh, I loved it.
Oh,
I loved it.
That. Yeah, I think that.
Then I saw you guys perform.
Yeah.
And that's when I said to Johnny, I was like, all right, man, you got something here. So when you're ready, let me know.
I love that. And so what was the first tour that you came on to? Was that Ain't No Stopping Us Now?
I can't. The first thing that I did with you guys, yes, it was Ain't No Stopping It Now. But before that, I think something happened with Disney. It was like in June of '98, and we did like this Disney special.
Uh huh. Yeah, was that
the television special?
Yeah, was that the big special? Or was that the Christmas special? That might have been the big
no,
special.
It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't the Christmas special because yeah. The Christmas special was with. I think you guys did it like with Sean Colvin,
right?
And like
right,
Tatiana Ali.
Yep.
That was separate. Yeah. This was one where. It was you guys did like six songs. Uh-huh. And that's the first thing that we ever did together.
Yeah. And that's what blew us up here in America. I mean, that is,
yes, it was.
That is the concert that made it happen for us. Yeah. Love it. I'm glad that you had a lot to do with that. Thanks, Kevin. Now, is there any difference when you create for a TV special versus a tour?
Yes, because for a television special, you're always limited by time. Whereas on a tour, you can let things develop naturally. Mm-hmm. You have the luxury to, you know, take certain latitudes that you can't necessarily do on television unless you're doing it, you know, already planned. So I think that would be the biggest difference.
Yeah, nice. And how long does it usually take you to put a tour together? Or are you constantly making changes throughout the whole time?
Well, it depends. I think most tours are anywhere between 3 weeks to a month and a half. Madonna puts her tours together in 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Big process.
Yeah, I can imagine. But
going from television to other live concerts, that's an adventure. I give you a perfect example, right? When you guys were going through some things just before No Strings came out.
Yep.
Bye Bye Bye. I mean, a lot of your deep fans know that record wasn't initially on any album. It was just a song. Mm-hmm. And what we did was, if you remember, I think it was the WB Radio Music Awards. We did a medley of Tearing Up My Heart, I Want You Back. And then we did like a minute and a half of Bye Bye Bye. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, that was the first. As a matter of fact, Johnny Wright was on stage. He played the DJ.
Yeah.
And I did the voiceover. Oh, we introduced the song. You guys did like a verse and a chorus and a breakdown. And that was the first time Bye 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 was performed, but we took those elements from that performance and they kind of migrated their way into the arena show.
Yeah. And I was, NPR did a really great article on the No Strings Attached anniversary, and they were interviewing Darren Henson. And I found out so much more information than I ever knew about the particular Bye 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 dance. The whole, you know, the Bye 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 where you do your hand. I was always like, wow, I didn't know, you know, that doesn't mean bye. I mean, that doesn't look like bye, bye, bye. But I guess Darren was saying in the Black community culture, that's how you would tell people to shut up. You're like, nope, shut it, shut it, shut it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you do that with your hand. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he also said that, you know, the arm up and, you know, before that is an ode to the Black power sign also. So, isn't that interesting? I never knew the meanings behind any of his moves until then.
And that's why I love Darren, man. Yeah. He's dope.
It's so great. Now, let's talk about the band. So, how did you decide on the members of the NSYNC band? I mean, do you have a core of people you pull from, or do you hold open auditions when you create bands for artists?
I do a mixture of all. Yeah. As I said with Shakira, she has a band that she's had for 15 years. She just wanted me to come in and help. Right. For you guys, when I got there, you had some band members. And I brought some people and we kept some people. Mm-hmm. So your lineup for No Strings during that time, that lineup was me on keys, my cousin Troy on bass, Troy Antunes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Then you had Billy Ashbaugh on drums.
Yeah, Billy was so great. Oh my God.
Oh, he's amazing.
What an incredible drummer.
Ruben Ruiz on guitar. Paul Howard's on sax and mm-hmm. David Cook on keys. Now, I just got to tell you something that you probably didn't know, right?
Yeah.
I talk to these guys mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
And for, let's see, maybe the past 10 years now, I'd introduced David Cook to Taylor Swift's camp. He's mm-hmm. her musical director. He's been doing that all this time. Everything you've seen her do.
I heard. Yeah. And in fact, I went to see Taylor, oh my gosh, on tour. This was years ago. And I ran into him like, what the hell? And so that was my first time knowing that he was even working with her.
But that only happened because of NSYNC.
Oh, yeah.
And this is so bizarre, right? You know, Justin was doing the charity events out in Las Vegas mm-hmm. for the Shriners Children's Hospital.
Right.
So I was helping with the band and doing all that stuff. Taylor was a guest one year. So we played and Taylor's manager, Robert Allen, came up to me and said, wow, you guys sound great. I mean, what are you doing? I'd love to get you involved with Taylor. And I said, well, I'm helping Justin with this. I work for Madonna, but I have got a really good friend that'd be an amazing fit, Dave Cook. Mm-hmm. And that's all because of Justin. And meeting Dave Cook on you guys, when we were on Ain't No Stopping Us Now, we were playing in Detroit, and I came back from watching a movie, and I'm walking in the hotel, and there's this guy playing piano and a trumpet player. So I said to him, I was like, man, you sound like really good. You should give me your card. Maybe one day something could happen. And I told him what I did. And so that was it. I took his card. And if you remember, we had Byron at one point. Mm-hmm. He's now Mr. Talkbox online. Byron was playing keyboards with us.
Right.
And we did TRL. And then he had to leave the band for personal reasons. Mm-hmm. And it was really tight. There was like a week. So we were in New York City. I said, let me take that card out. So let me call this guy Dave Cook. And Dave Cook came down to that TRL performance. And if you look at the footage, he's sitting at the foot of the stage watching you guys.
That is funny. That was the first time we met Dave Cook. Aw, love that.
And then all of us got together here in Orlando when he came through with Taylor. And we all went to dinner. All of us, except Troy, because he was living in London.
Yeah. I just love how everyone stays in touch. That is a great – I mean, it was such a – an amazing time in all of our lives, you know, especially that No Strings Attached tour in the summer. Do you remember, you know, putting that show together? Any crazy stories from that tour?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. I'd want to pivot first before the tour mm-hmm. to the album, because during the time prior to that tour, on the previous tour, and Ain't No Stopping Us Now, Justin literally would ride on my bus some nights, and we would just sit and tinker and mm-hmm. mess with music, play some chords, drum machine. That led to the creation of the song I'll Be Good For You. Mm-hmm. And I'm super gracious to all five of you to this day for the fact that that song got on the album.
Well, we loved it because it reminded us of how we began. You know, we started with those R&B roots, and so I loved that song. I loved the groove and everything.
It worked out, and it was, you know, so different from all the other songs on the record. Mm-hmm. And it was, like I said, it was just a blessing. So having done that record and then it made it to the album, I had all the band members play on it. That was all Billy, Troy, Ruben. And then going to the tour, I thought I did a pretty good job of taking a step back and not saying, you know, hey, my song made it on the album. Let me try and force it into the concert. It never works that way because, like I said, it's always about original artistic intent. Your concepts for what No Strings, the concert, was going to be, there was no real place for that record to sit in the show. So we didn't do it. And then showed up later on when we did the Fox Christmas special. Mm-hmm. But putting that tour together, that was super, super fun. Mm-hmm. Because each one of you in your own artistic right had so many ideas. And it's like all of it's coming at me constantly every day, you know, trying to balance it and find out places to make things fit.
Yeah. I mean, it was just an incredible time. And I think one of my favorite things was putting the shows together. I mean, that's where I just felt like I could be so creative and have so much fun. What are you most proud of from working with NSYNC?
Most proud. The fact that you guys stay true to your vocal roots and I was there to support it. So when you guys took the moment to take Robin Wiley's I Thought She Knew and put it into the concert, that's one song that, you know, even more than the one I did with Justin, that I said, this song is going in the set list because that's the core of what NSYNC is. Five part harmonies by a vocal coach who knew you guys, you know, better than some of you even knew your vocal selves. Yep. And what she was able to get out of you guys with that, or with like Oh Holy Night that she did for you guys for that Christmas special, or like some of the Bee Gees arrangements. She was an incredible talent, and she detected what I detected in you guys that makes you so special. I posted something on my Instagram thing, and I think on yours I pointed out when you guys would sing, being able to have the range that you have as a bass and to be able to maintain your pitch while everybody's singing in an arena a cappella, that's a talent, Lance. And you killed it every single night.
Oh, well, I mean, look, we had a blast. I mean, I was built to be a bass singer in NSYNC. That's what God made me built for. And I'm just glad I got to be a part of it.
But that's what makes it a true talented moment for you guys as a group, that, you know, I can stand back and be proud because I'm not even playing during that moment. It's just a cappella. And I can appreciate what it is that we were able to, you know, through other songs lead up to that moment to take the crowd on a ride. And then you guys deliver the goods with something as simple as just an a cappella song. And what made it so special is the truth. You guys could see that you were committed to singing that with everything that you had and left everything on the stage. And it made all of us feel like, wow, these guys are like, they're fully vested in what they're trying to do. And it permeates throughout the entire camp.
Yeah. No, we definitely were. Let's talk about No Strings Attached, the album. Did you expect that album to do so well and sell that much that first week?
First week. Let's talk about the first day.
Right.
Because remember now, I was a royalty accountant at Atlantic, so I had a bunch of friends that had data. Yeah. So on that very first day, I remember we were in Manhattan all together, mm-hmm. and I was in a taxi. I called Johnny. I was like, Johnny, you're not going to believe it. It sold a million records in the first day. I was going crazy. I don't even know where I was going, and the cab driver thought I was nuts.
My God. I mean, that is insane. A million in a day. I mean, that is rare, of course, these days. And I, you know, the Adele breaking it, you know, a few years ago, was also a surprise because I didn't think.
God bless her.
I mean, how great is that? But
how do you do that in today's music business to actually sell 3 million units? How do you do that?
Because no one buys albums anymore. It's a singles market. So I mean, that is an insane feat to have. But I had no idea anyone would ever be able to come close to that because I thought album sales were just going to always be down the rest of our lives.
No, but that was incredible to go from 1.1 million in the first day to 2.47 or something like that in the first week. Incredible. Then it tapped out somewhere around 14, 15 million. That's it. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It was a crazy
and
run.
The thing about it, what I was trying to get to about you guys as a vocal group first, the album being so big, the stadiums being so big and so many fans, it's all those stuff, all of it, it's so monumental. It's kind of like being in Manhattan and you're standing at the base of the Empire State Building, right? But it's not until you step back to Brooklyn when you can truly appreciate how large and how special that building really is. Because you can't see it when you're standing so close to it. That's what we felt like in the band.
That's a great analogy. I like that. That's awesome. Let's talk about, okay, so you're on the road a lot. And I would like to know the three things that you cannot leave home without.
Coffee.
Okay, that's a good one, yes.
Coffee. You don't understand, dude. Everywhere I go around the world, it is a quest to find a great shot of espresso.
Oh, yeah? Do you have your favorite?
And I find places. These new places pop up, you know, and it's taken a while for this to catch on. But I also travel. I travel with my own coffee beans and my own espresso hand pump just in case I run into a city where they don't have it. Or if I'm on a long international flight, I go up, I get some hot water, and I start making espresso. And it's like all the flight attendants want some.
I love that. What else do you have to have on the road with you?
Second thing I have to have is my golf clubs.
Okay. Big golfer.
Yes. Yeah. Cause when we got onto like Justin's, solo project, that's all him and I did.
Yeah.
Every day off, me, him, and security are golf.
Yeah.
Third thing would be, I think, my iPad.
Yeah. Those are all three good things. And, what is the best part about coming home after being away for so long?
The best part is my family.
Yeah.
They're the reason I'm here on this planet. And excuse me. What was really amazing on the first tour with you guys from 98 is when I started with you. My daughter was born in 99 and she was the first baby that was like born on the tour.
Yeah.
So she kind of like had carte blanche of all you guys. Mm-hmm. So I have all these pictures of you guys holding her when she was like maybe 3 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was an amazing time in my life. And
what's crazy being is able now, to, she's in her 20s.
Oh, dude.
Insane.
Yeah, she's gonna be 21. She's an aerospace major at the University of Florida. How about that?
Oh my gosh, a girl after my own heart. I love it.
Oh yeah, and my son, he's right over where Chris went to school, and Joey and some of the Backstreet guys, and Joe Mulvihill, right over at Dr. Phillips High School.
Right. Oh my gosh, that is so crazy. I love that, and I loved being able to get to know your family. I mean, basically everyone on the road with us was family. You know, it's something that, you know, you go through something that crazy, you're bonded for life, and you were just incredible to have around. You were a great, you know, mentor to have. You're an incredible, you know, music director. And I'm so proud of what you've accomplished in these last, you know, two decades. It's been insane. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm proverbially that, right guy in the right place at the right time. I'm just lucky like that, I guess.
It's all about kismet, my man. I know all about it. Well, Kevin Antunes, thank you so much for catching up with us. I hope to see you soon. I know we're all kind of quarantined for a bit, but after this lets up, I would love to get together here in LA and come see the Michael Jackson show too.
Yeah. Of course. You're always welcome to MJ1. It's literally just a phone call. And thank you and thank the group. And thank Johnny, Melinda, and Tim Bongo, all the band members that came through the door. I mean, it was an amazing time in my life working with you guys. Changed how I perceive music, and changed my whole way of touring. I grew more on that tour. I learned from everybody. I learned from all of you. Yeah. And being able to take that with me now into this touring industry, which is really small, and I get to see all these people that we worked with, from crew members to wardrobe to lighting to I come across everybody for because of what I do now. And I see everybody, and those bonds are so solid and tight from those NSYNC days that I cherish it. And I know they do too.
Yeah, no, it is a beautiful thing. Well, thank you so much. You take care of that family, and I hope to see you very soon.
All the best to your family too, man. You take it easy.
All right, thank you so much. All right, guys, now that you've heard from Kevin Antunes, now you have to go back and listen to I'll Be Good For You, because you'll have a whole different perspective on that song now. So go check that out. And we'll continue. We'll have a little break. We'll come back with some more interviews with the people who knew us the best. All right. The sound of that buzzer means it's time for a cold read. Mm-hmm. We haven't done one of these in about a week.
I know. I feel like I'm really excited.
I have a feeling this one's going to be bad.
This is going to be bad.
Okay, this is for Mac Weldon.
4.
Okay, mm-hmm. 4. There we go. Mac Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Seriously, it is really simple.
Yeah.
This is not part of the script. It's like really simple, easy, and I love my 18-hour jersey boxer brief.
Yeah, I can't relate, but I'm very jealous.
If anyone asks boxers or brief, I say boxer briefs.
This is me not relating.
Mac Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and more that you will ever wear. And they have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial. I said it right.
Microbial?
That said microbial.
No.
Antimicrobial. I said it.
Okay.
Go back to the tape.
Okay.
Okay, maybe not. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it, and they will still refund you, no questions asked. Not only does Mac Weldon's underwear, socks, shirts look good, they perform well, too. Mm-hmm. I've tested them out. And here we go. Mac Weldon really does value its loyal customers, so that's why they've created the Weldon Blue Loyalty Program. This is how it works. You create an account. It's totally free. Level 1, you place an order for any amount and never pay for shipping again. Level 2, once you purchase $200 worth of products from Mac Weldon, not only will you continue to receive free shipping, but you'll also start saving 20% on every order you make for the next year. And it also grants you access to new products before they are released to anyone else, as well as free gifts added to future orders.
Wow.
Pretty nice.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So for 20% off your first order, visit macweldon.com and enter promo code podcast.
Oh my God. That.
How dare you? How dare you?
My phone just did that.
macweldon.com, promo code podcast. How many was it? Like 2?
I mean, it was like 2, but my phone had a problem. So.
Well, I am super excited to welcome back to the studio my friend from Iceland, Bloof is back. Hi, Bloof.
Hello there, Lance. It is amazing to be here again.
Well, it's great to see you. And I have something to talk to you about because you know all about chilling, especially in Iceland, right?
Oh, yes. It is has an atmosphere that is very cold. Mm-hmm. Some say so cold that it's really cold.
Well, do you ever feel like you're always on?
Yes, I must be on because the temperatures are so low. If I am not always on, I will freeze in my sleep and become a spirit of the Agamanuga.
So, Bloof, what do you do when you need a moment to chill?
Oh, Lance, when I need moments to chill, I usually dig a hole in the snow and I put my head into it like an ostrich. It is very lonely, but it is very calming. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other suggestions, Lance?
I do, because you know my favorite way to chill is pretty simple. I just crack open a Coors Light.
A Coors Light. Mm-hmm. Is that what you taste, what you call the Rockies?
That is the taste of the Rockies. And I'm sure, you know cold.
Oh, yes, Lance.
And I hear Coors Light is your favorite drink of choice. So
it is. It
way
is.
Way over those Iceland beers.
Oh, gosh. The beers of Iceland. We have our main beer. It is made from the urine of a centaur. It has a very earthy taste, but you know, it's not as great as that American Coors Light.
It is mountain cold, refreshing, made to chill. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process. And oh. You know all about this three-step process.
Oh, it's my favorite steps comes in three.
Yeah, cold lagered.
Oh.
Cold filtered.
Oh.
And cold packaged.
Oh, my Klufin.
So it's
that's
actually
an expletive in my country. You don't have to beep it here.
Well, it's actually made to chill. The mountains, on Coors Lights, cold activated bottles and cans, they turn blue when you know they're ready to drink.
Oh, wow, Lance, it turns blue. It's like the mood rings of beer.
Mm-hmm. Chilled to perfection. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978. You're older than me by 1 year. Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102
calories. 102
calories,
1978. I remember 1978 very well. I was 349 millennia old.
Well, that's why Coors Light is the one I choose when I need a moment to chill. So when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Right, Bloof?
Oh, Lance, it's the beer I will only have in my life from now on. No more Centaur urine. Only Coors Light.
And remember, Bloof, you got to celebrate responsibly.
Yes, of course.
From your friends at Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
That's right, people out there. Drive safely. That includes cars, bicycles, and dragons.
You can have Coors Light delivered by going to get.coorslight.com and finding local delivery options near you. Just as time for another cold read, this time for Blue Chew.
It is. I hope my phone doesn't malfunction this time.
Oh, I hope not too, because you make me so nervous.
There we go.
Anxiety there. All right, here we go. This is for Blue Chew. Guys, looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Want to be confident every time it's time for sex? Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. Uh-huh, especially right now, because there's going to be a lot of babies born in the next 9 months from now. We're going to have a boom, y'all. So check this out. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra, Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they can work faster. And you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And this stuff is cheaper than those other two. So this is a no-brainer. Basically, if you like sex, you'll like BlueChew.com. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. BlueChew's online physician consulting is free. And once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And here's a great deal for you guys. Visit, and you know, you ladies out there, you know, want to give a nice present to your to your husbands and your significant others, visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code Lance. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Lance.
Did you ever think that you would have a promo code for Blue Chew?
I've dreamt Lance. Of it. Dreamt of
yes.
it.
And you didn't even get anything wrong.
Oh no? I forgot that was a cold read.
I don't even know what to do.
Well, you know.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Sometimes. Carrie Sellards, where are you calling from?
I'm in Orlando.
Orlando.
Where it all began for you guys.
Sure is. Well, let's bring it back to that date. Yeah, October 1995. You were there. You were there from the very, very beginning. So I wanted to talk to you because you might have some stories that I don't even remember from that far back. But first off, what did you think when you first heard about our group?
What did I think when I first heard about y'all's group?
Yeah.
Well, at that time, I was working for another group and was like, we got this other group, another five boys. And I was like, oh, goodness, another five boys. How is this going to be? But I went to work for you guys secretly with the other group for about 6 months and saw that, it's hard to say, but there was more talent, I believe. I don't know. I have to say, I love the Backstreet Boys too, but you guys have a bigger.
Oh, I think we lost you. Oh, I think you're cutting out. Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. Yeah, okay. All right, continue. You were saying how much better we were than the Backstreet Boys.
I said, y'all have a bigger place in my heart.
So you're saying we're better singers. Oh my God. So what was your first impressions of us when you, cause you probably came to our house first, right? When you met all of us.
I think honestly, the first time I came, I don't know if it was the house or like the karate studio, dance studio y'all were dancing in, rehearsing.
Yeah, with Robert Hawkes.
I can't remember if the house or the studio was the first place.
Yeah. And I just, please describe, because I don't think we've really talked much about this house that we lived in, but describe the house we all lived in.
Describe the house that y'all lived in. Chaotic.
Yeah.
It was crazy. People coming in and out all the time. But it was also great because you guys were always harmonizing and making music. So that's what was so enjoyable.
Yeah, I do miss that part where we just all, you know, had plenty of time to, you know, work on songs and, you know, learn new
things.
Like JC
and Justin, y'all would pick up the guitars and just play and do covers and then work on, you know, play around with your stuff, you know. Yeah. You know, and then we had the pool in the back, which was fun. But my favorite time was when y'all would just sit around in the room and sing.
Did you ever think it would get any bigger than just being a local group?
Did I think y'all would get bigger?
Yeah.
Yes. And I guys, Germany, when we went to Germany for the first time.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because you
were like, wow, this is going to be something special.
Yeah, it was a good test for sure that we went over to Europe first. And at first I didn't understand that because I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, wait, we're going to Germany? We've been, you know, we want to release here in America. But thank God, hindsight, I'm like, well, I'm so glad we went over there to kind of test our sound out and kind of get to the level we needed to be before we could premiere in America where they would have laughed us out of the country.
That was the best thing I think that it could have done for y'all, even though we all know y'all wanted to be here, but or in the States, but I think that was the best thing to get everything out and test the market and see what needed to be changed up. And you came back in here and killed it. So,
And now these days you are helping manage Chris Kirkpatrick. Is this something that you did you always know you wanted to get into management after being on the road for so long?
No, never. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what I'm up for, but thank goodness, which is great. I think we balance each other out because you know I know the tour side stuff, and she knows logistics of like legal and all that kind of stuff. So I think we do a good. It's a good team, so I think everyone needs a good team behind them.
It's so true.
You know.
And that's what I always say. I mean, yeah, you and Gina are incredible together, but NSYNC would never be what we were if it wasn't for our people. You know, they're the ones who really make it happen for you. Everyone behind the scenes, they're the ones killing themselves, you know, to make sure that, you know, you're successful. And yeah, you have to have a strong team. Strong.
The team and I really said you guys had a great family as well. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah. That a team is so important that listens to you and just doesn't tell you what to do, but listens. And then, but the family, you guys had a great family background support team there as well. So,
yeah, it was nice to have that support. It definitely kept us grounded, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other crazy stories that maybe people have not heard before about us that people might be surprised about that you can talk about?
crazy story.
Cause a lot of people don't know that we were roommates for a long time.
One of my favorite, it's not a crazy story, but one of my favorite stories is I think we had spent like 2 months in Germany. And a movie had come out that I wanted to see so bad before we even left for Germany. And then I begged you all to go when we got back. And I had to find a place. And we had to drive like 45 minutes. We went in one car. And I think I drove and you guys all got in the car. Like I think Chris or Justin were in the way back of my... I don't even... It had to have been the rodeo at that time, my rodeo. But we went and saw That Thing You Do.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. It was there's one of those... like dinner theater movies.
But it was the only place that was playing it at the time. Yeah. But I think for me, that was one of my favorite memories. I mean, there's so many great memories I have.
What was crazy? I haven't talked about that story in a long time, but I vividly remember this day because you know, yeah, it was right at the beginning of our career, and we go see That Thing You Do, and seeing that film, yeah, and relating to what those guys, you know, were, yeah, were going through,
yeah,
not knowing where our future was held. But it's insane how,
yeah,
how our career kind of mimicked that movie.
Yeah, it really does.
And of course, you can't beat Tom Hanks. Come on. What were your first impressions of Joey?
Oh, Joey. Joey. I think it was pretty much he was a ham. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, this guy was just all over the place jumping around. And I would say he was a ham.
What about JC?
JC. Now, see, go back before and think. I had met JC and Justin when they were on MMC because my sister was an accountant on the show. So that's where I actually met Miss Lynn. That's sort of how I sort of, Miss Lynn let me come in more because she knew me.
Oh my God. I didn't know
from that. But
oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't best friends with them, but they knew me and they knew my sister. So when I came in the picture of you guys, that's, I think, why I got more like what photographer coming to shoot y'all would be living with you guys, living at the house with all the guys, you know, within 2 weeks of meeting me. I mean, because Miss Lynn trusted me, I think. So she knew me. So it's just like,
one of my fondest memories is really just hanging with you, Miss Lynn, and Robin Wiley. We had so much fun together, all of us.
Yeah.
What were your first impressions of JC? Or no, we already did JC. Oh, wait, no, we haven't done JC yet.
I would say, I mean, JC, we haven't done JC. Right off, you could tell he was talented. I would just say talented.
Mm-hmm. What about Justin? So not talented,
oh,
right?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, sad. It's real sad.
He was a star. He was a star in the making. You knew it was. You knew he was.
Mm-hmm. And I was telling everyone on one of the interviews, I was just saying my first impression of Justin when I first met him, he picked me up at the airport, and just this swag he had at 14 was insane.
He had more swag for all y'all. Enough swag for all y'all, really.
Yep.
It was crazy.
What about Chris?
Chris, if I could say one word about Chris. Oh, my gosh. I mean, he was like Joey. He was a ham back then, too. Like, nonstop. Like, he was the Tasmanian devil. I know we, like, you are always Taz, but, like, he was, like, all the time, like, I don't know. Candid. He was always on.
Yeah.
Always on.
Always. Okay, can you think of any facts that NSYNC fans wouldn't know about us? I mean, I feel like we're such an open book, but I wonder if there's anything that you're like, oh, yeah, people don't know that this happened.
Ooh. I feel like fans find out everything. It's crazy. Even though back then they didn't have social media like they do now, like, I'm surprised, like, with the artists I work with now, like, they find out stuff before, like, I even know some stuff. I was like, what?
Yeah.
But let's see.
I mean, you found out very quickly that I am a mafia game master when we would play our mafia games at the house.
Mm-hmm. You are. Yeah. You remember that time that...
Oh, wait, you cut out.
In mafia.
Wait, say that again. You cut out.
When we were living together.
Yeah.
With Justin and...
Oh, they rolled the
and
house.
Trace and all. They come TP to the house. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You say TP. We always said rolling growing up. Oh, my house got rolled last night. But yeah, TP.
It TP'd down the house. They rolled it. I don't know. TP'd.
So stupid. So stupid.
I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that fans don't know, but do we really want to let them know? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember half of it. Gosh. All right. Well, I guess the last question I have for you is, can you finish this lyric? You may hate me, but it ain't no lie.
Well, see me, baby, bye-bye-bye.
Oh, well, bye, Carrie. It was so nice to just get... That's the way I was going to say goodbye.
Y'all are stupid. Michael, I was just watching you on Instagram Live.
Oh, yes. Well, everyone's on their Instagram Live these days. And, I've, you know, we're a daily show here.
Crazy.
But it's... you know,
I don't know who to watch.
There's so many. And that's the thing. It's like we were doing so good having this podcast daily for the last 3 months. And now everyone has a freaking podcast. I'm like, guys,
Everybody, we were here first.
You
were.
So now we got to share it with everyone. That's okay. At least people are getting entertained at home. That's what we got to do. Well, all right, Carrie. Well, it was nice to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of your quarantining time. We just keep getting more and more updates every time I look at my phone. And right now it's looking like we're probably going to have a good national lockdown.
Everyone's joining in. It's amazing. It's like a big dance party.
I know. It's fun. I'm going to be teaching the Bye 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 dance on my Instagram Live soon or something like that. That's going to happen soon.
Well, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll be there.
You'll have to learn it with us. All right. Well, enjoy your quarantine. And I'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure.
Yes. I love you guys.
All right. Love you, Carrie. Talk to you later. All right, guys, that's all the show I have for you today. I hope you learned something different. I did.
I learned a lot, actually.
I learned a few new nuggets, which is, yeah, surprising, but hey, whatever. All right, be good to each other. Don't drink and drive out there. Take care of those animals. Go ahead and adopt one right now, mm-hmm. or just foster one right now. Now's the time to go foster dogs and help find it at home. You don't have to keep it at the end of the quarantine, but maybe you'll fall in love with it and want to.
Hopefully.
But in the meantime, just give them a home for a few months.
Man.
I'm telling you, the kids are going to like it. It'll keep them off your back. Yeah.
I wish I had like a ranch. I would have all of them.
Oh, I wish I had ranch dressing right now.
God, food. Oh,
see, we didn't talk about food all episode, and here we are. Also, another surprise interview tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, mm-hmm. Johnny Wright. Because his was so long, there's no way I could have fit it into the rest of these. So we have a full episode with Johnny Wright, the man, the legend behind groups like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and New Kids on the Block and Britney Spears. He had his pulse on pop culture. He was the leader. Everyone thought Lou Pearlman was like the head of pop culture. No. The man Johnny Wright was.
Wait, today's Monday, right?
Yes.
So our days are so mixed up. Johnny's going to be Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday. Okay, so you get a day to rest. So on Wednesday, we're going to have Johnny Wright. So, okay, yeah. We get to spread out the NSYNC love even more now.
We'll just make it a little longer.
We're just going to make this whole podcast NSYNC. Oh, God, how boring would that be?
I mean, I think you would think it's boring, but I have a feeling everybody else
There's only
love
a
it.
Certain amount you can say before it starts repeating.
That's true.
But all right. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. And Johnny Wright on Wednesday. So again, be good to each other. Wash those hands. We'll see you tomorrow. The Daily Popcast is executive produced by me and Sim Sarna, written and produced by Jess Keener, and music by Josh Cook and Alicia Eagle. The Daily Popcast is a Cloud 10 production and is powered by Simplecast.